Amen. What a mighty home it is that the child of God has. And sometimes we need to be reminded of thinking of that home over there. And it'll never come to an end. And praise God for His grace and mercy. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read today from verse 19 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and reading from verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and reading from verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. Amen. And we know the Lord will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his precious and infallible book. Let's unite again in the word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving Father, we rejoice in thee again. And our Father, we thank thee for the great instruction that thou hast given us. And we recognize the radical nature of it. And yet, Lord, it comes down very practically and speaks to our lives just where they are. And we pray that even today, as we hear thy word, that it might be as that hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, and that thou wouldst bless thy word to our hearts and help us to glorify and exalt the name of our blessed Redeemer. Just come and shut us in with thee today and teach us, Lord, the way to live and the way that we should go in our lives. Be with us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In August 2012, there appeared a report, a headline in the paper, that the world's richest woman had died. Rosalía Mera was the richest woman in Spain, the richest woman in the world, with an estimated wealth of £3.9 billion. Her wealth actually only represented a fraction of the wealth of her husband, Manico Ortega, who is the founder, the both of them are co-founders, or were co-founders of the Zara chain of stores. Manico Ortega's wealth was estimated as he had a wonderful wealth that he had. But Mera, Rosalía Mera, suffered a stroke while on holiday on the island of Menorca, August last year. She died on the 15th of August last year, and at the moment she died, her wealth went from £3.9 billion to zero. It all went. She couldn't take it with her. Thomas Fuller, one of the great Puritans, once said, and this is a quote, "Riches may leave us while we live, but we must leave them when we die." He also said, "Riches are long in getting with much pains." And that's a truth that we should bear in mind as we come to this portion of Scripture. Bear in mind that the Lord is speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's dealing with the attitudes of the scribes and Pharisees, particularly about the Messiah who would come, and their false notions about the Messiah. And one of the things that the Jews believed about the Messiah was that he would come, and of course he would set up this rule and he would deliver them from their conquerors. But then they thought that he would bring in a rule where they would have much wealth, and they would it would be a kingdom of material enrichment and festivity and feasting and all these things. This is what they thought about the kingdom of Messiah. They anticipated this temporal prince whose rule would bring in this time of economic boom that they thought that it would have. But I want you to see that the Lord now is dealing with this attitude, and he wants them to see that his kingdom does not consist in material prosperity and in wealth, but it is something spiritual. Now, that is a lesson that we need to learn in these days, because this is a misunderstanding that has got into the church down through the years. We have it manifested today in the health and wealth teaching that you get in some churches today. And they say, well, it is not the Lord's will that any Christian should have material poverty, or it is not the Lord's will that any Christian should be sick, and that the Lord, if you give to the Lord and come by faith in the Lord, that the Lord will bless you with material prosperity automatically, and that he will take away sickness from you. And there is this emphasis upon material prosperity. But we don't have to go to the health and wealth teachers to get the same thing, because this is such a subtle danger that it is something that can get into the hearts of each one of us. And how many there are today who are looking to material wealth and the things of this world to bring them satisfaction. We can get so easily caught up in the material wealth and the search for things that other things are pushed to one side. Now that's what the Lord wants to deal with here in this portion of Scripture. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, it is that great principle in the spiritual life that I want to bring before you today. And it is something that each one of us need to bear in mind and be reminded of, particularly in this material day in which we live. John Wesley, when he was 87 years of age, and he'd come towards the end of his life with all the vast experience of Christian life behind him, said this. He said, one great reason for the comparative failure of Christianity has been the neglect of the solemn words, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. So let us see what the Lord has to say about this here. Here is John Wesley saying that it's one of the great failures of Christianity, and I think today it is one of the failures. So there's a principle. Here's something that we need to take on board. And there are a number of things that I want you to see about the command of the Lord Jesus here in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing I want to deal with as we come to this is the principle of our treasure or our wealth, or what do we do with it? Look again at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And I want you to see, now, at first sight, again, we could misunderstand this. And maybe you might think, well, here is the Lord forbidding us to have wealth, that God's people should not have wealth, or that we should not make provision for the future. It seems as if the Lord is saying, don't lay up anything for yourself, don't enter into financial planning, or have a savings account, or put money away for a rainy day, or provide for your children, or do anything like that. Is that what the Lord is speaking about? Because there have been those in the past who have thought that that is what the Lord is saying. But if you think that that is what the Lord is saying, you're going to have problems with other portions of Scripture that do indicate that we should lay up for our children, that we should provide for our future, that we should lay up for a rainy day. And I can show you this very easily. We can go through the Scriptures And I want you to see, first of all, before we go on, that this cannot mean, this portion of Scripture, this command of the Lord here, cannot mean that we can't save or that God's people are forbidden to have wealth or anything like that. The Bible has a number of things. For example, we can look at the examples of the patriarchs, men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, these men were wealthy men. We think, for example, of that day when the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham fought together because the pastures had got too small for them. They had so much cattle. They had so many things that they had not room enough for them. And you think of the part of the covenant blessing that God gave to Abram, that he would inherit the land. So there was a wealth there. You think too of Joseph. Now, when Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 years of famine, what did he do? Well, he went and he gathered up all the grain and he laid up the grain for the days of famine. Now, the Lord didn't come to Joseph in the middle of that and say, no, Joseph, you're doing something wrong. You're laying up treasure upon earth. He didn't say that. Indeed, later on, when Joseph was speaking to his brethren, he said that the Lord had brought him into Egypt to do what he did, to save much people alive. Solomon the Proverbs points out how the ant is a great example. And he says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And in the summertime the ant prepares for the winter to come. And they lay up food in store. And the Bible commends them for that and says that we should do likewise. We think of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. He makes references to how we should, as fathers and mothers, parents, that we should make provision for our children, that we should lay up for our children. Indeed, it says, and it speaks of how if we don't do that, it speaks of us as being worse than an infidel. And so on and so forth. We think of the Christian businessman who does not think of his family or provide for his family. And if you were to take this portion of Scripture as a justification for that, you'd be wrong. The Bible says that if you don't make provision for your family, if you don't look after your family, you're worse than an infidel. We think of the Lord Jesus who received help from people of substance. We think of some of the ladies referred to in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3. And they helped the Lord Jesus along in the human level, as it were. The apostle speaking to the, Paul speaking to the Philippians, reminds us how that while he worked to pay his own way and wasn't going to be in any way holding to the people in any way, that he made the principle, laid it down, that if somebody works in the gospel, that others should provide for them and help them along. And it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. These were people that gave themselves to the preaching of the word, and they received then from those that led by them in store for that purpose. So we can see here, the Lord's not making a wholesale assault on the insurance business here. He's not making an attack upon financial planners or bankers or anything like that. That's not what he's doing here. We need to make good use of the resources that we are given. What the Lord is saying here is that we shouldn't put our trust in these things. Now, we're going to come on to that in a wee minute. But I want you to see that the text here, when you look, what you need to do is take the context of God's Word and you compare Scripture with Scripture and you come up with what the Bible says. So we notice that the principle of our treasure is It's not wrong to lay up for yourself for days to come. It's not wrong for you to have a savings account. It's not wrong for you to provide for your family. All those things are things that are commended in God's word, and things that are not only commended, but they're right. We should do those things. So we notice the principle of our treasure. It is not certainly not an attack upon wealth per se, nor is it an attack on laying up in a savings account per se. Those are not the things that the Lord is speaking about. So we notice the principle of our treasure. Now, let's come to the prohibition of our treasure. The Lord is saying something here. We have said a lot about what he isn't saying. But what is he saying then? What does he mean? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now remember, this is the command of God. This is the Lord Jesus. So we need to know what it means. Well, notice the definition of terms. It speaks here of treasure. Lay not up for yourself treasure. He doesn't say lay not up for yourself wealth. He doesn't say lay not up for yourself money. Some of the modern versions in this passage translate some of the words money, but they're wrong. That's inaccurate. He says lay not up for yourself treasure. Now I think there you have the key. The word treasure is a very wide term. It includes money. It would include trinkets. It would include clothing. Anything that you count as valuable. It mayn't be valuable to anybody else, but it's something that you hold dear to your heart. Now, I think there you're getting the key. It is something that you treasure. And if you treasure it, it is something that has the potential to take you away from the Lord Jesus. It's something that can take too big a part in your heart. And that's the key to what he's saying. He says, what's your treasure? What's the dearest thing? What's the dearest thing that you have in your life? Might be your family, might be your wealth, might be your position. It might be any of these things. These things that you treasure. And the scripture language in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, of course, is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, what is the thought of your heart today? Is it directed towards gathering and amassing a fortune upon earth? What do you really want? What is it that you really desire in your life? You see, every man is a treasure. Every woman is a treasure. Every person has a desire. Now, that's the ultimate priority of your life. And what the Lord Jesus is getting at here is our priorities. What is the thing that you delight in above all else? Is it the Lord Jesus? Is it the things of God? Or is your heart set upon earth itself? And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, be careful about what your ultimate delight is. He's really dealing with a man or woman who has ambitions and hopes, but they're all centered upon what they can do in this life. There's an American author by the name of George Gilder, and he was often quoted by President Ronald Reagan when he was alive. But this man once wrote about a woman who was obsessed by wealth. And a prophet from her own country came speaking to her. And he said, "Madam, you're ruining your life and all the lives of all your family around you because you're absolutely obsessed with your wealth. You must do something." So what she decided to do was that she'd go into a monastery and leave behind her wealth. And she placed her wealth in the hands of business managers or chamberlain, those that would look after her wealth. And she went and went away and withdrew, as it were, from the world. And the man of God came to her after many years to see how she was getting along, see if she was content now that she'd left her wealth behind. And she said to the man, she said, "I am here, okay, and I've spent many years here." But she says, "All I can think of is the life that I left behind." And the man of God said to her, he said, "You know, madam, you have still an inordinate occupation with Liv. Now, she'd left it behind, but it was the thing that was upon her heart. It was the thing. And, you know, we could have nothing. You know, you could have no money whatsoever. You mightn't have two brass pennies to rub together and put them in the bank. But if your heart is obsessed with getting these things, if you're coveting these things, if you're looking for these things, if it is the obsession of your life, then you're laying up treasure upon earth. So we notice the definition of the terms, but I want you to see the description of the traits of the person. Yes, how do you lay up treasures upon earth? Well, certainly, it would have a thought of those that try to amass wealth in this world. But it is what drives you. Now, you can have wealth, and you might have wealth, and your thought might be the things of God, or it might be your family. You might have wealth, you might have riches, you might have plenty of money in the bank. But that's not the obsession. The obsession might be something else. It's what holds you day by day. You might have, may not have much in this world, but if you're tempted by money, that's what we're talking about. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said that, you know, he made the point that it's not just money. It could be status. It could be position that we're looking for. And he said about the minister, he said this. He said, promotion has done endless harm in the Christian church to men who have been quite honest and sincere, but have not been on their guard against this danger. You know, you could be looking for a position in the church. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we find in the Bible it's commended that you have a desire to be an elder, or the menfolk, a desire to be an elder. But if that is what is controlling you, the position, not the service of God, but the position, the authority, the place, or it could be in your work, a promotion that you're looking for. That could be such a subtle temptation that it dominates your life. Now that's what we're talking about. Laying up for yourself treasures upon earth. Is the thing that you want, the thing that you're working for, the thing that you're desiring, an earthly thing? Promotion, position, status, wealth. Is it an earthly desire? Or are you laying up for yourself treasures in heaven? I want you to see something then of the definition of the treasure, or the prohibition of the treasure. But then I want you to see the power of the treasure. You see, whatever it is that you have as a treasure in your life will drive your life. It'll drive you. It'll be the thing that influences all your decisions. Now, you might be a person who makes a song and dance about spending an extra £200 to pay for the heating bill. But you have no problem at all in spending £200 on a pair of designer shoes. Now, that says something about your priorities. You might be resentful, perhaps, of missionary offerings that come around, you might think, too often. But you have no problem in splashing out on a 42-inch television set. That says something about your priorities. The question then, again, is, where is your treasure? What is most important to you? People may never go on holiday. They might have a clapped-out car. They might shop in charity shops for their clothes, because their children's education is the most important thing to them. They may not be rich, but there are their priorities. Now, what is your... You see, it is the thing that drives where you put your money. It is the thing that drives the decisions that you make. It is the thing that drives the life that you live. But not only does our treasure drive us, but our treasure, if it's upon earth, will disappoint us. You see what the Lord says in verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. And as I say, the NIV, the New International Version, translates the Aramaic word mammon there as money.
They say you cannot serve God and money. That's a wrong translation. There's nothing inherently wrong with money. Paul never said that money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. And mammon here really is what we would say as consumerism. That's why we are in massive debt in our country, consumerism. We were getting richer by the minute a few years ago, up until about 2008, and it was spend, spend, spend. It was go to the bank and get a loan as big as you can. And if you had 3 holidays in the year, why not have 4? And if you changed the car every 3 years, why not change it every year? And things were getting better and better, and so it seemed. And then the climate changed. And 2008 happened. And the credit crunch and the failure of the banks and the financial system and redundancies and cuts and the Eurozone crisis and all these things came in. And people found that spend, spend, spend didn't really satisfy them at all. And you know, that's why really in many ways we have an increase in alcohol abuse. Did you see all through the papers on the radio, every time you were turning on the radio this week, alcohol abuse and what alcohol was doing to people, the way that was costing millions of pounds in the health service, costing millions of pounds in social services, and the police, most of the police duty at the weekend, it was all to do with alcohol. Alcohol has become the bane of our society. And my, they're up in arms. They want to know what are we doing wrong. See, people were laying up treasures upon earth, and they found that it didn't satisfy. And there is gambling now is coming in. You see all the adverts for the gambling, family breakdowns, pornography, all these things, because laying up treasure upon earth, at the end of the day, doesn't satisfy. And that's a lesson that we need to learn time and time and time again. So we see the power of your treasure. It will drive you, but if it is that you're laying up treasure upon earth, then it will disappoint you. It will disappoint you at the end of the day. But then look at the place of your treasure. What do you see what it says here? It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And the Lord says, where you do lay up your treasure is in heaven. Now, let me say immediately that what the Lord Jesus is saying here, where it speaks of laying up treasure in heaven, that's not a reference to salvation. Some people say that's the treasure that we lay up. But you cannot lay up treasure in that sense, because salvation is all of grace. Salvation is the free gift of God. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So what are the treasures? Not salvation that we're lying up. What are the treasures that we lay up in heaven if we're saved? Well, one thing, it is the rewards of the saints. The Bible says that there are rewards for the good works of those that are the saints of God. And not only has God saved us, not only is God going to bring us to heaven, but he will reward us for the good works that we do. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 31 it says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So there are rewards for what we do for Christ. That's the treasure that we lay up. Paul says in Colossians 3 and 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Think of the Lord Jesus in John 12 and 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. And that's the constant message of the Word of God. If we're saved and our sins are washed away, then we serve the Lord and we get rewards. We don't deserve the rewards. It's reward enough that we get to heaven. But the Lord said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's a reward for service, for spending your time and your labors and your efforts in the cause of Christ. That's laying up treasure in heaven. This is not the kind of reward that you're going to leave behind. This is the kind of reward that you're going to go to and have throughout all eternity. Now, are you spreading the message? Are you seeking to do what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you laying up those treasures? But there's not only the reward for serving the Lord, but there's a reward for giving to His work. There is obviously a reference to money here, although it's wrong to speak of mammon here, as we said, as money. But there is that sense of money. And when we give to God's work, we're investing in the Lord's work. We are laid up treasures in heaven. And we think of how we can give to those that are less fortunate and those that are in poverty and so on. We can spread the wealth that we have. It says in Luke chapter 12, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." So there you see very directly that when you give to others and when you spread your wealth and when you use it to the blessing and help of others, then you are laying up treasures in heaven. So there's a compassion and a care for others, and that can be manifested in either giving directly to provide for material things, but also providing for their spiritual needs, for the ministries of the church and for the missions, and going out and reaching them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the greatest treasure that they could have. Are we investing in eternity? Are we giving of ourselves? Are we giving of the things that we have? We often lose light or sight of eternity. We often lose sight that we not only need to invest for time, but we need to invest for the things to come. You read about the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And it said they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They weren't invested in earth. But it says that they walked as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, that their eyes upon eternity. And they said they were making for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker was God. We think of how God commanded Moses to leave the Egyptian court. And it says he obeyed, for he had not respect unto the recompense of the reward. It didn't matter to him that he was leaving behind the wealth of Pharaoh's palace. If God wanted him to do it, he had not respect unto the recompense of that reward, because he knew there was a reward in glory for him. Dr. Samuel Johnson was once being shown around a beautiful, a noble estate and a lovely castle and so on. And when he looked round, he said to the man, the owner of the estate and the castle, and he said to him, "These are the things which make it difficult to die." Now, those words are true of one stricture. When it comes to die, God takes the difficulty out of it. And for some people, it is difficult to die. But you think of the Apostle Paul, who said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And that's what the Lord Jesus is directing us towards. That place where we can say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Don't be laying up treasures upon earth. But let's make sure that we're laying up treasures in heaven. For in heaven, moth and rust can't corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. What will your life amount to in the end of the day? Have you treasures in heaven? Have you treasures in eternity. Make sure today that your life counts, not only for time, but for all eternity. May God write His word upon our hearts.